The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. We are in the roaming studios today, coming live from the Marriott in Prattville at the RTJ course.
A fine location.
A fine location. First class. First class. So we just wrapped up our big annual Ag, Forestry, Natural Resources, Extension, team-wide meeting. So a good time for the crops folks to interact with other people. But we thought we'd maybe take advantage and sit down and talk peanut pod blasting. So we've got Mr. Peanut, Chris Balcom, and Cade and Blake are in here with us too. And we're going to, I guess, give a peanut update and talk about what needs to be talked about.
Yeah, I think this is very timely in a way, because last week we did the peanut pod blasting with Blake, and I thought it was very useful for growers. Even like, I think the biggest thing I learned from that was people who planted earlier crop first and then late, and they came in thinking that they're going to dig that one first, but after Chris' evaluation, all they were like, it was totally inverse of that. So I think there was a lot of good things out of that, and let's just have Chris come talk about that.
Well, yeah, it's good to be here with y'all, and pod blasting certainly is a valued tool to be able to help determine when to dig. You know, a lot of guys always go by the calendar, and you just can't do that. You know, there's too much money on the line. It's very valuable too for us to be able to utilize and determine the optimum time to dig the peanuts, not only for the grade at $5 a point, but also in tonnage, you know, in pounds. Those pounds add up each day as those peanuts become more and more mature. So it makes a big difference to the bottom line.
Yeah. We were talking earlier, you take a couple minutes out of the day to go do it, and it might save you $30 an acre.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is you got those farms scattered all across, and you can try to plant them at a certain window and think that you're going to harvest around in that loop and make that work, but it's just best to go and pull those samples from those fields and try to help get a track of which way and which direction they can go with those shakers and diggers. You know, peanut harvest is a challenge anyway, being a two-step process, so it's a lot of logistics moving around the equipment and all the things that goes with that and getting around these roads today across Alabama. So it's good to have a good look on the crop and be able to tell the best time to dig, and then they can plan that out ahead of time and move accordingly to maybe when traffic's down as well.
Yeah. So I guess before we get into some of that, I know we had you back earlier when we were before planting even, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. But can you give us a quick update on the crop for this year? Where are we at in the season? What the crop looks like? And
sure. Sure. We planted, that was before harvest there, late winter when we were together, and, you know, we were guessing how many acres we would plant and so forth, and we planted around 197,000 acres of peanuts this year in Alabama. They expect about 193,000 to be harvested. The crop is, you know, everybody to the north end of the state was really wet early on, and, you know, it's more marginal down our way in the traditional belt. But as we progressed through the season and time went on, everybody kind of went to get in the right range through middle of July, mm-hmm. On to the end of August. And that really turned the crop around and had a lot of potential there. Since that time, we've begun to dry up all across the state. And we've experienced about, you know, 3 weeks without any rainfall. As we get close to digging time, that's a problem from the aspect of filling out those pods, getting them fully mature, and then also coming in there trying to be able to physically dig those peanuts, you know. Those peanuts being pegged down in the top 2-3 inches of the soil, even though they're pretty shallow, it's still relatively hard, mm-hmm. to be able to get up under there and physically get those out without plowing them off or shearing them off or tearing up the equipment. You know, we need the right moisture there to be able to do a really good job of that and cut down our harvest losses there from digging.
I guess it's also more losses when it's dry like that.
Absolutely, yeah, a lot more losses in, a lot more labor. You know, they're changing blades every 5 acres per two rows. So if you got a 6-row, 15 acres is about what they're running right now for them having changed blades. So that's pretty time consuming and pretty expensive changing those blades that quick.
I know Blake was saying that in the black belt, I guess it's so dry they can't dig if they want to right now.
Yeah, we were there last week one day doing the pod blast, and it was a lot of those peanuts that was planted at the end of April. They were timed to be dug and looked pretty good on the board looking at them. But with that being said, it's just too hard. So it's not to be alarmed from the aspect of the peanuts aren't going anywhere; they're not about to fall off. But what we need is just the right kind of weather to be able to get in there timely. So when we've been experiencing a long dry spell like this, and we can get a good shower rain, even an inch or so, it soaks it up really quick and fast, and it doesn't hurt those peanuts that are there mature that are needing to be harvested. They'll hold on there fine and not give us any trouble sprouting. It's when they stay in that, when they are fully mature and they stay in that wet, moist, warm ground, and then it causes them to sprout. So when you get those continued rains there after they get mature, that's when we run into problems. So hopefully there in that location, they can get a good timely rain to come through. A little front pass by here soon. I think some of the chances are a little better next week. So maybe they'll moisten the ground enough to easily get in there and get those dug to get them out.
Is there, how long can they wait before it's like, okay, we're not getting rain, but we still need to go out? Like, because there's even a penalty for that, right? If you're already mature, you just let it sit for a while.
Yeah, that they'll sit there and hold. Like I said, without it being if it's just sitting there in dry ground, it's just like them being stored in a trailer. It's just dry, so they're not going to change any. But if they're in that wet ground, that's when it's going to create a problem.
Yeah, what can hurt us is, like you said, if we have a week of rain or a 4 to 5 inch event that we can't get in there fast enough, because again, they'll all be ready, but you can't dig them all at the same time. So maybe those last ones you dig can have an effect. But going back to what you said about if some of our first planted fields aren't the ones
that are ready,
and that's kind of the story of up here, is we had so much rain that I guess some of these that were planted and they struggled coming up, and it just set them back, where the ones that were planted after those rain events in good moisture but didn't sit there and they're about drowned out, just caught up with everything.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Blake. And same way kind of in the traditional belt down there around in the Wiregrass and around Headland, a lot of those peanuts have been running a lot longer on the days, but I think they're due to that. They were not wet early, but they were planted there early and they were growing fine. But then as it became time for them to start fruiting and setting the crop, conditions just weren't favorable, so they just continued to sit there. So it was delayed before we started getting any rainfall that would turn that crop around to allow them to start fruiting and pegging. So therefore that just adds days to the tail end of the crop. So more so in that central Alabama area, more on time, and even southwest and a little north of Headland there, that they seem to be more on target and on track than compared to the traditional area.
How many, I know we usually go by a lot of days after planting, I guess, where are we in the season right now, roughly?
Yeah, so anybody, they started planting the latter part of April, and, peanuts are, some of these are 150-something days old right now that are trying to be dug or looking to be dug. Everybody's different. We planted all the way through in June, so,
yeah.
197-ish thousand acres.
That's right. They expected to harvest around 193,800 is what the estimate is.
But what were we last year?
180.
Okay. So we have another 20,000-ish.
What's the tomatoes by wilt virus look like this year?
We didn't see that much there early on, which was a good thing. But those areas that did struggle coming up that were wet, like Blake mentioned, certainly there was virus there that was prevalent there in those areas. So those thrips are just attracted to that green foliage that's coming up and really slow, and we certainly saw a big difference there. For the most part, across the state where they had moisture and they were planting and emerging, we didn't see any problems. Now, here lately, you see more virus coming in and showing up. But I think that's also due to the fact that it's later season, you got more stress on the plant, more of those things are going to be expressed throughout that characteristic wise.
My understanding is that the first, about 50 to 60 days is where virus really hurts you the most. So if it's yes. starting to show up now, it's not
as big a deal. It's not going to make – you know, you can just see that discoloration in the leaves and stuff like that. It's not going to have a big impact on the yield because your plant's pretty good size, already got the crop set. Early on when it happens, you're going to have a – it's going to hold that plant back, keep it from pegging a lot, and really decrease the yields there.
Are most growers out of that last kind of fungicide application, or are there maybe still few that?
Well, certainly with the weather that we've been experiencing, only the irrigated guys really probably need to be worrying about spraying. As we look to what the future forecast holds for us, we determine about spraying any other fungicides there. You know, the old leaf spot, AU leaf spot, program would be one that I kind of go by, and it goes by that on the chances in the future and the weather that we've had since the last spraying. So according to it, you would not be spraying right now until you see a change in the weather.
Well, you know, where we're at, again, these peanuts are ready, but they're dry. But we do have some bigger farms that's got probably over 1,000 acres of peanuts. They probably got an idea of where they're going to start digging. So, you know, thinking about leaf spot, maybe some of those last ones, would you try to do a little preventative there?
I wouldn't, for the fact, Blake, that if it hasn't rained in the last 2-3 weeks and looking at the forecasts, you know, we still look open predominantly, I wouldn't spray those. If we change the forecast and we see something coming, or we see a storm maybe that's coming across and coming up, absolutely, we'll try to go in there and spray those peanuts before ahead of the storm, and we'll try to do it when they're not wilted. Maybe early in the morning, they won't be wilted as bad. That way, we get a good coverage there across the leaf surface there. Then,
digging wise, what are some of the big considerations right now that the grower should be thinking about?
Well, obviously, trying to get in the ground and trying to keep from tearing up everything, because just like you're saying, you know, you got bigger growers and you got a lot of acres to get around and to cover. And even though they've got a lot more equipment, it's still a process and it takes a lot of time to get through harvest and the amount of acres that you can harvest and get through. So, and also when it is hard and dry like this, we're running a lot slower. You know, we may be going 1.7, 1.8 miles an hour digging compared to going 3.2 miles an hour. Wow. When we got the right moisture. So really changes a lot the speed of how fast we can go through this crop. So, you know, Then you get later and later in the year, you've been dry so long, man, it's going to turn around and go to raining sometime. You know, usually, October is a dry month. It seems like September has turned into October with the weather that we've been having. You know, what is October going to look like? Is it going to look like November when it goes to raining, or is it going to still be dry in October and not rain until November? You know, what's going to happen? So, therefore, we try to take advantage and try to go in there and dig some of these fields when we can, according to the soil types, and pick out those that we can feel like we can do a decent job in. And even though we're changing blades a lot and got a lot of expense there, just because we don't want to have so much at one time to do.
Got to start at some point.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the irrigation, if you have center pivot technology on your farm, can you put some water out and say, hey, we can get these peanuts out? Like, you put an inch of water per acre or a quarter?
Well, you know, I would look and see, depending on how wet it's been. You know, if they're irrigated, they've probably been watering those peanuts throughout the season anyway. And as they get close to the end, obviously they've kept moisture there to keep them maturing and got life in the vines. But yet it still may be hard out there. I know me and Blake was talking about a field like this earlier. And, you know, you don't want to have it real soupy wet, obviously, here before harvest. But, you know, we don't care about trying to put on any more pods. You know, obviously they're not going to go in the basket. So as you get closer to the harvest time, you know, we kind of taper off on the water demand and just keep enough out there to keep them maturing and filling out. That way, as we get really close to digging, if we need to put out a few tents just to moisten up that top where we can get in there and dig, you know, it's good. A lot of times these heavier soil types, we can do a better job with a little wet than we can too dry. So it's better to be quicker behind some water and to dig those at that time than it is to let it get too dry.
What about, since we've been so dry, even the dug peanuts being out in the field, they're going to take less time, right, before they got to go pick them up?
Absolutely. Excellent point. But so you don't have near the life in the vine, so a lot of the moisture is dried out. They were probably already wilting during the day. Like you said, they might have a little life in them in the mornings early or something. So it doesn't take near as many days. And the top weather and temperatures that we've got, we're still in the 90s, lower humidity, really dries those vines down. Like I said, they already had drained a lot of moisture out of the vines trying to go transfer to the nuts to mature those. So, you know, in 2 days, they're pretty dry.
Yeah.
So is there ever a point where you start worrying about vine strength? I mean, because we've been dry for a long time, and we've got some places where leaves are have near about defoliated.
Well, they certainly will over time, over a longer period. You're going to see it just completely die, and it'll turn black, you know. You really get concerned then from the fact of holding those peanuts onto those vines as you dig them. As far as cutting them with the vine cutters and going through there, you know, that it's not any different there, trying to cut through there. But obviously, if you stay there an extended period of time, they will completely crash out and die.
I guess, can you touch a little bit more about on the pod blasting aspect again, because I think something valuable I learned when we did it last week was that there were a couple growers, like we said earlier, that their late planted peanuts were actually closer, like only a week or so from digging, than their earlier planted was still. So I think automatically a grower is going to think like, hey, my earlier planted crop is ready first, and they might go there. But that is a very helpful thing that they need to be thinking about, like taking those samples, right.
So yeah, you know, we simply kind of think about it like soil sampling fields. You know, everybody knows there's different soil types all across the field, and you know, you're trying to pull all those random core samples out to try to get some uniformity out there and kind of see where we do it by zones or our smaller grids. So same way with the peanut pod blasting, we'll go out there and pull some samples of plants just so we can pick off, you know, 50 peanuts on there that'll be harvestable pods. And we can, if we want to take that field and split it up into a couple different samples to get an idea, like, hey, it's really sandy here, it's stiffer dirt on the top side, just make two different samples and kind of get an idea in that field. And you know, you may pull it in, you may pull a couple plants in three different spots in each one of those soil types, and that way you got a good average idea of what it looked like. And you know, blasting them on the board is a great way to see that maturity after you knock that outer layer of the hulls off, so you can look at the color. But and then that way you've got a pretty good size sample from that number of pods across there to look at the color. But then to really fine tune it and to look, you know, it's good to shell them open and look on the inside, look for those oil spots as that peanut matures, that oil content becomes higher and expresses itself in those oil spots getting darker, so you can be able to easily see that by shelling them open. Because you can be falsified with some of that hull color on maturity on a dry year. As we stay like this, you know, the peanuts may turn loose inside the shell, so then they become more tan, copper colored and look mature, but yet they've just prematurely turned loose inside the shell. So it's good to shell them open and look.
You know, Simber, the nematologists say don't guess, soil test,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Same type of deal here, Chris. Mm-hmm. So tell us, for the traditional wiregrass area, when is pod blasting available? And then for the rest of the state, is it kind of call your agent and they'll come out and help, or there are set days for there too?
Yeah, so in Headland at the Wiregrass Research Extension Center, we pod blast every Tuesday and Friday from 8 to 12. In the mornings, and then
that lasts for how long?
Yeah, we'd do that as until, you know, in October
done.
There, you know, yeah. Sometimes. So we started the 1st of September. We'll carry that on through probably the latter part of October, and most everybody's on track and know what they're going to do then. Other areas across the state, like I said, we did one there with Blake there in central Alabama back earlier, and we'll be in Society Hill tomorrow. They're out from Auburn on Thursday from 10 to 12, there around the store. And then in Baldwin County next week at Gulf Coast Research Station, we'll be there, I believe, on Tuesday around 10 to 12.
Next week?
Next week.
Okay. I remember when we were there last week. Now, are there also growers who kind of do their blasting and take pictures, send it to you, or?
Yeah. So sometimes they can do that, and they'll blast a sample and you know, look at the color and shell it open, and you know, with technology we got now, you can FaceTime and look at them there and talk through it. Other times, you know, we may have issues going on in the field and may want to go look at them physically in the field, and they, you know, they may be crashing out with leaf spot or disease or what have you. So sometimes that may change it, you know, because your sample that you're pod blasting is only as good as that sample. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the soil test, you know. There could be something else going on in the field or what have you. So
let's say real quick, tomorrow for the listeners is September 18th,
yeah,
and Tuesday next week is September 23rd. So I don't know how quickly this will come out, yeah, but get those dates out
that's
there.
Good to
yeah
know.
Yeah.
What are yields expected to be this year?
Well, you know, they're certainly being cut right now because of this extended dry time. You know, some of these earlier peanuts that we started digging on, you know, it's been slower to mature, like I said, in those areas. So, you know, being dry 3 weeks, it probably didn't hurt us that bad on some of those. Maybe cut just a little bit, but certainly these later peanuts that was planted on out in May, later May, 1st of June planted, and from then on, we're certainly in jeopardy right there. Those yields are really being compromised due to this dry weather, and because when you go 3 weeks dry and the forecast is looking open, we've really drained the life out of those vines and depleted all our subsoil moisture, because a peanut can root really deep in the ground and pull that moisture from down deep. But that's the reason why the ground's so hard. it sucked every bit out. So, you know, so some of these early peanuts that's been picked, I know some of those are around 2 tons. But the problem is, and what I fear, is we may be going down from there if the weather don't change. You know, last year we'd been really dry. August was a dry month. There wasn't very much rain throughout Alabama the month of August last year. The early crop, you know, suffered with that because it really needed that August rain to help fill it on out and get it mature to make that mm-hmm good yield. So when we started there, I wasn't as alarmed because in September, what did it do? Rained the whole month of September. We had 15 inches in places in September last year. Well, you know, that hadn't happened this year, but what that did last year, all that 50% of the crop got planted late due to some rains that we had at planting. So that 50% of that crop that was planted late last year benefited from all that rain in September and allowed that ground to get really wet, provide those peanuts through that length of time, and we continued to get a little bit there then earlier in October and finished out those peanuts. And, you know, we had some really good 5,000-pound peanuts last year, late season. That was really impressive. We won't see that this year if it doesn't hurry up and change and get it raining for that late crop.
I remember we were at Tennessee Valley earlier this. There was a scout school, I believe. Mm-hmm. We had a podcast.
Yep.
You mentioning about, I think, more peanuts and all that, and then comes harvest, there might be concerns of where all this peanut crop is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
What is the situation?
Yeah, so the shellers have been pretty alarmed with that and wondering, you know, since we've planted more acres, not only in Alabama, but in the tri-state region, and that peanuts being a big thing in that area, wondering about storage and where to put them all and so forth. But, you know, we've kind of all experienced the same weather recently, so I told them I wouldn't be too worried about that. I think we're taking care of the storage problem right now.
They're being stored right now.
Sometimes things work out.
Yeah, may not be always for the good best, but they're working out.
Well, you may save on some drying costs this year.
Well, Chris, anything else we need to cover?
Hey, well, look, good to be here with y'all, and hopefully y'all can get that jacid bug straightened out of the cotton.
So I thought we were going to get away without talking about
that. We won't have to worry about it for next year, I hope. So.
Yeah.
No concerns for a peanut from that, right?
Not as of now.
Okay. Is that going to – because I know – I'm just speaking from, like, my Georgia kind of experience in a way. When cotton – some of the early cotton is usually ready in the peanuts, and the growers usually go and pick cotton and then come back.
It's opposite in Alabama.
Yeah. So, is – well, with the prices, it should be in a way. Peanut is a kind of priority right now, right?
Yeah.
That's what
yeah
pays the bills. So, mm-hmm, that's not going to affect our – like down and the wiregrass with all that.
Well, and the good thing with the weather we have, I don't think you're looking at much loss in cotton. It's not going to, you're not going to have issues with grading or whatever. It's not going to fall out. So, and defoliation has been going beautifully.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, I'm just hoping how long that's going to last. If we don't get some rain soon, eventually, it's not going to work as good. You know, 2 years ago, you could go ride field to field. That, you know, fields within 2 miles of each other had been sprayed the same day. One worked perfect, and the others had leaves stuck everywhere. Right now, if you can get in there, get after it.
I tried my best to end on a up note, but then Blake brought it down.
Hey, we're gonna have a good peanut ear this year. Hope we get some rain soon here.
Yeah.
Bring out my inner Steve Brown. If you can get in there,
do it. Go get them. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, enjoyed it. Appreciate y'all's time hanging around a little bit after our meeting today. Good conversation, good information. As always, if anybody with Alabama Extension can ever do anything to help, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. And we'll be back with another episode soon.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.